This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome to Is This Real Life? A Bravo podcast that relates our favorite shows to our own lives and the world around us. I'm your host, Mandy Slutsker. Let's get to it. Hi, everyone, and happy 2024. I hope you all had a wonderful holiday season and New Year's and are ready to come into 2024 with a bang, because Bravo certainly did this week. Oh my gosh, I'm still reeling from the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City finale. Oh, it is absolutely perfection. Well, it's crazy to think about, but I've been doing this podcast now for 6 years, which is really hard for me to even conceptualize. This started out as a creative outlet. I didn't really care if anyone was listening or not, although I hoped people would. And it's become just this wonderful thing in my life. And I appreciate all of you listening, and I appreciate everyone who sends messages online and shares their thoughts and opinions. Now, I really enjoy that aspect of being online, but over the break, I took some time away from social media, especially when I was in Florida with my family. And I really feel as though I feel so much better when I'm not on particularly Twitter. And then something like the Real Housewives of Salt Lake season 4 finale happens. And I'm like, oh my God, I need to go on Twitter and get everyone's takes. But I'm having trouble like trying to figure out a way to use Twitter that is still fun and like, you know, not so crazy. It just seems like everyone's just yelling past each other, is just incredibly angry, and is not communicating in an effective way, that if they're actually trying to make some sort of change happen about whatever they're angry about, it doesn't ever really seem to be solved through Twitter. So if any of you guys have decided to get off Twitter and are better for it, please let me know, because I am strongly considering deactivating. It's just, everyone's just so mad. And when they get mad about Housewives, that just drives me crazy, because I'm like, we all can have different opinions on this, okay? And you're treating this as if we're like talking about, I don't know, anything else. People get so upset about sports, they get so upset about politics, I get it. There's a lot of terrible shit happening in the world. But for me, Housewives isn't terrible shit. I just want to be on there and have fun. Can we go back to having fun? All right. So wanted to briefly chat about Southern Charm and The Real Housewives of Miami, because I didn't get to in my conversation with Danielle. So let's start with Southern Charm. It was an okay, I think, season finale. So much of the episode was them getting ready for this party that Whitney was throwing in this bar that he created on the property that his mom lives on. Whitney is wild. It was really cool, though, the bar that he created. But, you know, nothing really got solved. Everyone's still upset at Taylor and at Austin. And I thought the only really, truly good scene, besides I love seeing any scene with Madison or Madison and her husband or Madison and Patricia. Those are my favorites. But seeing Olivia stand up for herself to Austin and say, listen, every woman you're with, you leave a trail of women, and they all have the same thing to say about you. Maybe the problem is you, and you need to figure out what you're doing to upset so many women that you date. And I thought that was really accurate. I understand that Austin feels as though when Olivia has chit-chat with him, when they text about movies or TV shows, that it seems as though they're friends and that she's not angry with him. And then, you know, she then flips and gets angry with him. But what he's failing to realize is every single time she gets angry, it's because something new happened. A new story came out. She found out a new piece of information about what had happened. And she gets angry all over again. And she's also dealing with the loss of her brother. And everyone seems to be brushing that aside as if it's not as big of a deal as it is. Some other news from the episode is that JT told Taylor that he's in love with her. She does not feel the same way. She's still in love with Shep, and she has a conversation with Shep where he says, you know, you and me, and she's like, okay, well, there's you and there's me, but what about us? And he's like, us is over, Taylor. It seems like she hasn't gotten it through her head because she's still spending time with him and it's like friendly and positive that maybe she thinks that they'll get back together. But I don't understand why she would want to be back together with someone that cheated on her and treated her poorly and was arguably verbally abusive at times. So I think Taylor, I hope she's done some work on herself to know what her worth is and what she deserves in a relationship and what's, you know, healthy and what's maybe not so healthy. But, you know, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. It's still very sad to me that she doesn't seem to want to fully take accountability for all of the lies and manipulation she had with Olivia. And I hope that at the reunion, Olivia is able to better articulate why she's so upset with Taylor now that she's had some time to process and watch back and say, you know what? The problem wasn't just that you hooked up with my ex. It's that you were telling me advice on how to get back together with him and in, you know, telling me to take him back. And then once I finally did, you went after him. It's manipulative. And, you know, I hope Taylor is able to find a way to feel self-worth without needing it from men, and especially men that are not kind. I am excited for the reunion, though. A Southern Charm reunion never disappoints. There has not been one bad Southern Charm reunion, so I'm ready for this one. Miami. Oh my gosh. I think Miami's having an incredible season, and I think it's been overshadowed by all the drama with Salt Lake City and how many people love Beverly Hills. They just have so many more viewers than a lot of the other franchises. But Miami is fun. It is interesting. There's still drama. There's so much happening in these women's lives. They don't have to create stories. There's just things that just are happening with them. Well, it's very interesting to see Alexia and Marisol get so upset over Anna coming on to this brunch and mainly coming to film. Anna was on season 2, I believe, of Miami. I don't believe she came back for season 3, and she wasn't on the first season. I actually really liked her on season 2. I felt like she was really honest and made a lot of sense to me. But since being on the show, she seems to still be obsessed with the show and talk about it and, you know, going on YouTube or on different podcasts that end up on YouTube with her daughter and saying not nice things about the other women. I don't know. It just looks pathetic to me. And it was really pathetic of Adriana to try and bring Anna to take down Alexia by sharing whatever information about Alexia's finances. I think that's really crappy. And it was interesting to see Julia try to confront Adriana, because Adriana wants to be backed up by Julia always. But Julia is starting to see, like, hey, you're my friend, but this behavior, this isn't cool. And I think that's what a real friend does. A real friend says, yeah, on this, I can't back you up on this thing. I'll back you up on most stuff. But this, I think you're wrong here. We also got to see Dr. Nicole say that she didn't really know exactly what was happening, why they hated Anna so much. I think she kind of knew that there was beef there. I don't think she knew how deep it went or how upset it would make Marisol and Alexia. I don't think Dr. Nicole is as messy as she comes across. I truly believe that she sometimes doesn't have time in her day to keep up with everything that's going on. She even said, how am I supposed to know what was said on a podcast? I don't think she spends a lot of time listening to podcasts, spends a lot of time looking at the Bravo social media pages. She is a working anesthesiologist. She has two full-time jobs. She is a housewife and she is an anesthesiologist. And she has a small child and now she's pregnant. Like, there's a lot going on in her life. So I believe her when she doesn't know the full backstory to everything. Quick side note on Dr. Nicole. So she made a video along with Dr. Tiffany Moon about medical gaslighting and the esophagus issue that Sutton had shared and the reaction that Anne Marie had towards Sutton and how that was not appropriate as a person that practices medicine to do towards someone who has a stated condition. And it's just really interesting that Anne Marie came out this past week and said she thought that Dr. Nicole should have given her a heads up that she was going to put a video out, should have shared her opinion directly with Anne Marie because they met at BravoCon. I don't know. I'm on Dr. Nicole's side all the way on this. It's obnoxious to use your medical background to put down someone's experience, especially if you have not treated them as a patient. So how do you exactly know everything going on with Sutton? And it makes it seem as though you don't really believe what patients say. And, you know, I don't know. It seemed really weird that she's so hung up on this. Sutton has a small esophagus. I think personally, like, multiple things can be true. And my take on it is that Sutton definitely suffers from some sort of genetic small esophagus. It sounds like her brother has this too. I also think she drinks a lot of alcohol. And I also think she doesn't eat a lot of food. And I don't know how much of that has to do with the esophagus or with, you know, the fact that a lot of these women have difficulty with food. And it was interesting, again, another like sidebar, we're just like multiple tangents away at this point, that Crystal talked about how it's been this season very distracting for her and very difficult to see how many of the women have lost so much weight because it's made her be more self-conscious about her body and something that she's been struggling with for a long time. So anyways, okay, back to Miami. The one fight in this whole Mother's Day brunch that I was not able to fully figure out what everyone was saying was between Julia and Lisa. I understood why Lisa was upset. Julia had questioned her parenting, and this is a time when Lisa is undergoing a very intense custody battle. So questioning her parenting, especially on camera, that's not great, right? Even though I kind of agree with what Julia said, like, how could Lisa leave her kids and go to a party after everything that had happened? But, you know, I'm sure Lisa's like a wonderful mom and made sure they went to bed. I don't know. Who knows, right? But it also seems as though Julia missed what Lisa was shouting at Julia when she was angry, because the footage was played back and people started tagging Julia as saying that Lisa had made some comment about Julia's children are all from different baby daddies. And as we all know from watching, one of Julia's children has died. Her son passed away at age 4 under extremely tragic circumstances. And going after someone for like how many baby daddies, that seemed really like dark too. Like, they're basically both going after each other's parenting and kids. And it just was kind of icky to me. But what was a good antidote to the ickiness was being able to see Gertie's family rally around her when she got her lumpectomy. It was beautiful to see how her husband was, how her parents were praying for her, her sons, and, you know, how they set up the room for when she got back from the surgery with the blue Gatorade and the cards. That was very beautiful. It is hard to know what's coming because we know that the results of the lumpectomy were not fantastic and that she did end up having to go through chemotherapy and radiation, which is, I've heard, an absolute bitch. So it's kind of sad knowing what's to come, but it's also wonderful knowing that Gertie is now considered cancer-free. So That's kind of what I'm trying to keep my mind on, and how many people are connected to her story, because it is so difficult to watch. And it's especially difficult to see it juxtaposed with dumb drama like who's invited to a Mother's Day brunch when, you know, her health is on the line. All right. I'm so excited for you guys to hear my conversation with Danielle. You all know her as Brands by Bravo. She also is co-host of the podcast Real Housewives of Rewatch, where they rewatch old Housewives seasons, and it is fantastic. As always, if you enjoy the podcast, go ahead, give it a 5-star rating and leave a kind review. If you have any constructive criticism or anything you want to share with me, my DMs are open at Mandy Slutsker on Instagram. And I really would like to hear your guys' takes on Twitter, because that place is just a cesspool of hate and anger and all the things that I don't want to carry into 2024. So would appreciate hearing from you on that. All right, we're going to take a quick break and then back with Danielle.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everyone. I'm here with Danielle from Brands by Bravo. You guys know her from her podcast and her Instagram page, and quite fitting to be talking to an Instagram curated account person this particular week. How are you doing, Danielle?
I'm good. I like that curated Instagrammer.
I mean, let's start first things first. So the account Reality Von Tees, were you familiar with that account prior to this week's Salt Lake City episode?
Not really. Like, just a little bit. I tend to not get in the weeds of rumor mill stuff and super, I should say, like, salacious or like accusation type stuff when it comes to my account. Like, I try to be like the People Magazine of Instagram accounts. Like, I don't want to post things unless I know.
I love it.
Things are true.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Like, there's so much fake stuff out there, and or like rumors or like Dumois type stuff. And like, to me, unless I know, this is real. So can't say that I really like knew that account. Unfortunately, we never DM'd, and I don't think they followed me.
I knew the account, but only from the videos that were posted of Jen berating and throwing things at her employees.
I do remember those videos, but I can't say that I remember being like, oh yeah, it came from this account. Because also so much stuff gets reposted and whatnot. But yeah, definitely. I do remember there being like an exposed account, you know, yeah, like someone who was releasing stuff.
Yeah, Jen Shaw sure. Exposed or something like that. And I remember it being
Reality
Von Tees. Funny.
Sorry, I'm just thinking, there's been two troll accounts from one franchise that have been exposed to be members of the cast.
Oh my God, the Jen Shaw exposed. Yes, it was Angie H's husband, which I actually believe it was Angie H. And then she
probably
made him take the fall, right?
Definitely. But how weird is that? I didn't even think of that till now.
Do you think it has something to do with the fact that it's one of the newer franchises? And so
definitely.
Now that Instagram and all that has become, like, social media is such a part of Housewives, where it wasn't back, although back in the day, like, they would have fights on Twitter, you know, between.
Yes, I was just going to say, so if you don't, my podcast is Real Housewives Rewatch. We're rewatching old Real Housewives of New York. And I think it was season 3 or 4 where Simon is like trolling Jill on Twitter and they get into a fight about it. But it's him.
Yes.
It's not like him behind secret accounts. Like, it's him blatantly trolling Jill on Twitter.
And I think he trolled her in real life too.
Yeah. He was just a troll of that series.
I remember also earlier Real Housewives of Beverly Hills also had some, like, well, she posted this on Twitter. No, maybe it was Atlanta.
A fun one was Miami. You had a whole fight about posts on Facebook.
Oh, God.
I think Miami, like season one or two, there was a whole fight about Facebook, which was enjoyable to rewatch and see. Like, I forgot a world where that was like a thing, where Facebook was like that.
It's so interesting. I mean, what do you think the exposing of Monica as an Instagram or a Twitter social media troll means for the Housewives franchise as a whole? Like, do you think this will change how casting is done and, like, maybe make the older Housewives more suspicious of the newer Housewives? Like, how do you think it's going to change sort of the zeitgeist of Housewives?
Like, yeah, I could definitely, I mean, I could see there being mistrust for sure. Like, I'm even thinking of Potomac when they brought up that Karen pays for her blue check mark. And she was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And they're like, no, literally, like, that's how Twitter works now. And that to me felt like such like, not like to be like, oh, boomer, but like a of her age, not even realizing that she was paying for this thing, whether that's what she cops to or not, or someone on her team did it, but her not even knowing. So definitely generationally, like, I can't see one of like the older Housewives having a troll account, but I certainly could see more of the younger ones doing stuff like that.
Yeah. Do you believe that Heather knew or had suspicions about Monica potentially being a troll prior to the final episode?
I think she might have had suspicions, but I don't. When people always call that acted, yes, there's certain parts, but they're not good enough actresses to have faked all of that, in my opinion, because that was like insane. Like, I think I have a pretty good meter of like, I think this is, you know, who's a good one that you can always tell, like, when they're sincere, when they're not, is Erica. I feel like I can always tell when it's like a real emotion versus like a fake emotion. And this all felt very real emotion, whether they might have known prior or not, they'd been building up waiting to flip out on Monica. So I think she had suspicion, but I don't think she fully knew until they were there.
And who do you think she called to get the final confirmation?
Did she say it was the hairdresser?
No, she said that was the second to final call. The final call, it was bleeped out.
I always wonder, why can they say some names and why can they not say others?
I think there has to be like approval. Right? Like, the person has mm-hmm. to sign a contract saying it's okay for you to use your, like, why they blur out certain faces and don't blur out others. It's whether or not you sign the paperwork.
Yeah, that I assumed it was like your face, but I didn't know when it came to just saying your name that that was like a part of it.
I think if it's a person that's not a publicly known name, so like Bo Dietl, when they use Bo Dietl's name for Jersey, like, he's more well known. But if it's a private citizen, I had a feeling that it was like a private investigator or someone that worked in like investigating online cybercrime or like something who could verify that the posts, the screenshots that the hairdresser sent Heather were real.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it was the same team that Diana Jenkins used when she claimed to be searching to find out who was trolling Garcelle's son.
Maybe I think they them. Figured it out. It was like a man in California.
Yeah, which I'm sure was paid for by Diana. But no, I don't know who. I don't know if it's a person that we would know. Whoever confirmed it, or it was right. like someone deep in their circle that maybe we've seen at like parties but don't like actually, you know who they are.
Yeah, it almost made it sound like she was maybe gonna say the name of a company, like so-and-so at so-and-so.
Or do you think maybe it was someone who like works for Bravo or like on the production team?
I know, I doubt that.
No? Okay.
Because she seemed to want production to like be away from her when she mm-hmm. was that did not seem fake at all. Like, she was like, get away.
And she's, you like, don't yell at them like that.
Especially too. Heather doesn't seem like the person. So
no.
I was just on a vacation and I read Heather's book on vacation. And I'm so glad that I just read it right before this finale episode, because some things made sense to me that I don't think would make sense to me without having read her book.
Mm-hmm. Did you like her book?
I liked it a lot. It was very well done. And there were certain, like some stories I'm sure are a little embellished, but there were some key things she said about different actions she took during her childhood that she got in trouble for that I'm like, that sounds just like Heather. Mm-hmm. Right?
No, I haven't read it. I have a new like thing that I would like to collect though. I don't even care to read them. I just decided that I want to collect every housewife book that's ever been published. And I get them on thrift books for like a few bucks, and Bag of Mormon is not on sale yet. So I'm waiting. I bought Make It Nice and I think Class with the Countess. And I bought Carol's book, which I know is not like an autobiography book, but everyone said that book is like actually amazing. So I think I might read that book. And I think one more. And I also have both two of Teresa's cookbooks.
I read Margaret's book.
Oh, okay.
Which was interesting. It was nowhere near as good. Bad Mormon was like a really well-written book.
It seemed like it was. I think also because she probably has more fascinating stories than most do, just from growing up Mormon and the whole Mormon church and its secrecy and all of that sort of stuff is just an interesting, more interesting topic.
Yeah. A lot of the secret stuff that you're not supposed to say. It reminded me a little bit, like I was in a sorority in college. I don't know if you were.
So was I. I was Delta Zeta.
I was Alpha Phi. And there were these like secret handshakes and secret, I don't know.
Password like, and secret knock.
Yes. And you would do it like in the basement of the sorority house while holding candles. And it just
wearing
felt,
all white.
Yeah. It just felt so dumb. Like, I'm like, okay, like I like being in the sorority because I like the women and I like the like activities that we do. But this secrecy stuff is super weird. There's nothing special about it. And like, why are you acting as if this is sacred? This is so weird. And I think that's how, I mean, not the exact same, but that's how Heather felt the first time that she was in the temple before she left for her mission, when like things started to come together and she's like, wait, this is what you guys do in the temple? This is what you say? Wait, no one's laughing? This looks so weird. This feels so weird. Like she was just, it was not all coming together, but she was taught not to ask questions and no one would speak about it. So like mm-hmm. whatever occurred in the temple, like you would never talk about it. And
yeah, I think that was in the Under the Banner of Heaven TV show was like a lot of, I learned a lot from that.
Oh, is that about the Mormon church?
Yes, it was based on a book and it was with Andrew Garfield and it was about a crime that happened in a Mormon community in the 80s, but it's a lot about like a crisis of faith from this crime and it's a true story and it was, maybe it was the 90s. I don't know, it was Utah, so like you can't tell based on the clothes in the show. I don't know. I don't know what happens in Utah. I'm just kidding.
Oh my but God.
It was really good. Under the Banner of Heaven. It was on Hulu. And it was, I watched it maybe a year ago.
I should look
really
at that.
Good. I'm obsessed with like all any culty religion. I want to watch everything to do with that.
And I know that some people's experience, what seems so interesting to me is that she's able to like gather that other people's experience in the Mormon church is not the same as hers. Like she seems to get that, but her experience with it did feel quite cult-like. And mm-hmm. I think she was only coming to terms with that like the couple of years before she got cast.
Gotcha.
And she never said any of it out loud and never talked to other people. Maybe a couple, like a handful of like really close friends that she made that were newer friends, but no mm-hmm. one in her family, nothing like that. And then that's why I think she got so sucked into Jen Shah, who has such a cult-like personality and requires like, you do not question me. I am always right. I am here for you. And like that, you know, bigger than life personality. And she just did what she did with the church was to like keep quiet, defend it, you know, follow everything, be the perfect friend because she was trying mm-hmm. so hard to be the perfect wife. And it just all kind of came together that when she made that speech saying like, we know, like we didn't know you, but we knew people like someone like you, like Jen made us do this. She made us, you know, lie for her. I got a black eye from her. I covered up everything. I ate shit every day. I went on book tour and defended her. That's what she did for the church. Mm-hmm. And the church did not repay her with goodness. And Jen, like, I think she's only finally now coming to terms with the kind of person Jen was in her life and how dangerous she was. Well, and I think the crying was about that.
Who wants to admit that you have been duped by a church and now a friend and, you know, repeating your same pattern and all of that? To me, in Heather's revelation, yes, Monica being reality Von Tess was like insane. But honestly, the admittance of the black eye and realizing that Monica, the lie of never being a Meredith's store and then seeing the security footage and then her being like, wow, I've never been here. That to me was like the number one moment that literally made me like out loud gasp of like, damn, this girl is deeply loony. Like, that was wild to me.
It's almost like she doesn't know what she's saying, if it's a lie or if it's true. Like, she's not sure where the lies end and the truth begins and vice versa.
Yeah. And I think I saw today something on Instagram of like Jen maybe knowing back in 2021 about the account. So I think that's why people think Heather knew about it for a lot longer. But like, to me, that doesn't really like lead to her knowing anything.
I don't think that's a smoking gun at all. First of all, it was leaked by Dana Wilkie, Mrs. $25,000 sunglasses, who also was in trouble for fraud. So I think she did. Like maybe just 6 months, but it's definitely like, to me, that makes her not a credible person to listen to on anything, especially fraud.
Yeah.
She's going around commenting on Erica Jane. I'm like, girl. Like, you actually got in trouble with the law, you know, not just adjacent to it. So that, and then it was Monica's one of the three last names, not the Garcia. And so I don't think they realized that Monica Fowler and Monica Garcia were two different people.
Yes. And also, like,
or was the same person.
Yeah. To me, like, when it comes to Monica, so after the episode aired, she was on live. And like, this is probably so controversial, but like, she made the season, like, bring her back. Like, she might be one of the most entertaining, like, newbies when you think of it from an entertainment standpoint. Because honestly, at the end of the day, like, someone I remember, I commented on Bravo's thing being like, give me 100 more seasons of Monica. This was before the finale, but that was where I felt before the finale episode. And someone was like, she's horrible. And I was like, yes, exactly. That is why she's entertainment. Like, what if Housewives not been horrible? Do you want me to list like the criminals who have been on this show, the horrible people? Like, what moral ground does she have? And I really like what Monica said in one of her like ITMs, like interviews, that she was like, the real criminal is Jen. She was like, you know what's horrible? Scamming, like, and just kind of putting somewhat into a reality check of like, yes, what I did is bad, but like on your scale of badness, like don't make me equate to Jen Shah because I was kind of horrible on the internet. And that was just like an interesting point that
I think she made. It would be different if the account only was about Jen and only focused on Jen's wrongdoing with fraud.
Yes. And it's quite like, heartless. I'm not saying I like her as a human being whatsoever. Yeah,
but she made it sound like she was doing the important work of exposing Jen. And I just want her to take several seats and say, actually, Monica, that was the work of the Southern District of New York.
Yes. Which so. She was an FBI informant, wasn't she?
She claimed she was. Who knows? They never got to the point in trial where witnesses had to be called. And I don't know that a witness list would ever be made public by the private documents of SDNY. So I do believe she was involved in some way. I don't believe she was the main person.
No, that I agree with. Like, but you maybe know? Maybe she had some texts, some footage, some stuff like that.
And
that
her whole issue with Jen was that Jen was mistreating employees, not that Jen was scamming from the elderly. I feel like she almost equated the two. And it's, I don't know, maybe this is terrible of me because it's like victim blaming. But like, if you don't like your employer, especially in a situation like that, get out. especially when she was married and there was another income. Like, get out. You can become a personal assistant to somebody else. There are other people. There are other ways of making money.
Mm-hmm. Also, if we want to talk like morality when it comes to Monica, I don't know where anyone thought at any point throughout the season that this was a person of like high morals, seeing as she had an 18-month long marital affair with her brother-in-law.
Right.
Like, if we're going to talk like who she presented herself as, like that was episode like two, like where she talked about that.
What I feel like made this season, though, is the fact that none of them, not even Monica, shared a single shred of the story to the internet. No one went on podcasts. No one was posting on Twitter. No one was going on Instagram Live and like dropping hints and clues. No, they kept it tight. And it was an incredible episode because no one actually knew what the big reveal was until the big reveal happened.
Yeah, like there was definitely rumors of it. But again, like I don't look for spoilers. I stay away from it. Like I never follow a new Housewife before the season starts. Like I don't want things to be spoiled. Like the last time I felt that like shock and awe was obviously watching the Vanderpump Rules finale. Like that was the last time in Bravo Universe world where I was like, utterly left speechless by an episode. The camera work, the editing, the music, the producers are running around in the background. Mm-hmm. The thunder was making my dog a little nuts while I was trying to watch because they kept playing.
Oh, they kept having it was incredible, like cinematography. Like
the triangle setup of the table.
Oh.
The lead into that they didn't even jump right into it. Like the forward 8 hours prior, now we're at dinner, 1 hour earlier. Like it was a masterpiece in the way that they presented it to us that like, I need to watch it again, honestly, because it was just,
I watched it twice. I would just watched it before talking to you again. And it's just masterful how Heather puts it all together and gives her speech. It almost felt like she was waiting her whole life for that moment. Mm-hmm. Because again, like reading her book, like she was meant for so much more than being like only a wife. Like she,
oh, for sure. She's been one of my favorites. And I really felt like the last season she got totally lost. And I feel like the Heather that I loved early on has been back like this whole season. And I've really enjoyed her again.
Same. And it feels like that's the real her. And when she's trying to be someone else or gets too angry, she's not entertaining.
Yeah. And especially I do not like seeing her and Whitney fight. And exactly. I really her hated them fighting.
Her and Lisa, like she gets so blinded by how much she was mad at Lisa in the first couple of reunions that it was just hard to, and like, come on, like.
Yeah, insane. I did not like her and Lisa, her and Whitney fighting. And I was really glad that they literally like had their fight the night prior. And then they're like, yeah, we were really drunk. Like, this is actually what I'm upset about. Yeah, we're cool.
Yeah. Also,
and I was glad for that
part in the book about Whitney, I did not think was exploitative of her sexuality. No, and I thought Whitney, it was pretty clear that the photo shoot was for her husband.
Even when Whitney explained it, I was like, this is not what exploitation of your sexuality even means. Like, you're literally not even, if anything, it would be like you're using a story that makes me look, I don't know the better word, like
slutty.
Yeah, I was going to say, trying not to use that word. I was going to say promiscuous.
That's what she felt it made her look like. But the way that Heather wrote it almost sounded like, wow, this woman is so empowered. Like, mm-hmm. I've never seen someone so empowered.
Well, and she said that she told her the entire thing she was going to write. So it's like, really?
She read it to her. And then
did she not see the movie Titanic to like know the reference of like Jack paint me like one of your French girls? Like, maybe she's never seen that.
It had a different impact than hearing it read to her.
Maybe. Like, and that's okay. But she just kept using in the way that, what was it? Oh, early on the season when Mary said, you called me a pornography.
Yeah.
It was just like, this is the wrong, you're not using the right word.
Yeah.
She's not exploiting your sexuality. That's not what's happening.
It did feel somehow, though, like Heather and Whitney maybe were on the same page a little bit before Lisa and Meredith.
Yes. Also, did you notice, I felt that Whitney gave no reaction when yes. Heather said Jen gave her the black eye, which meant to me 100% she already knew.
Yes. That one.
She had no reaction. Yeah. The others were like open mouth agape, but like Whitney had nothing.
I don't think I believed. I really thought she hit her head. I thought they were like, this is so terrible. I thought they were like snorting drugs and like hit her eye on the sink. Which is I don't know how that would happen if you store drugs.
True. I think
Jen
gave it to her, but I don't think it was on purpose.
Well, no, but
I feel like it was like an accidental, we're drunk, elbow to the face. And I think they wanted to cover it because I think maybe they thought people wouldn't believe that. But then covering it up made everything worse.
I think it was because it could impact her trial.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think Jen was like, I hate you, Heather, and knocked her out. I think maybe they were drunk. She accidentally got her with an elbow. And then they were like, how, this is going to make me look bad. So even if I didn't do it on purpose, like, you can't tell them that it was me.
And I think she really went into the you can't tell anyone. Because when they flash back that scene where Meredith sees the black eye for the first time and then Jen Shaw is saying, we have no idea how it happens. We're like, we had to figure out a story. And then she stops and she's like, we thought we had to call Meredith. And then and then Heather says, I do not recall, which is literally word for word what lawyers tell you to say in depositions and on the stand.
And also, again, to go back to when I can tell when people are lying, it was so obvious Jen was lying in that moment.
Like, yeah.
No part of me believed her for a second.
I part of me did think maybe, okay, is Heather like really have so much shame around alcohol? Like, it was just confusing. The whole thing was confusing. But I want to know more, like, in this coming reunion about Heather and how she truly feels about Jen Shaw today and all of the other women, and how, because it feels like Whitney and Lisa were like, okay, she's a fraud. She's terrible. Like, we've come to terms with it at the last reunion. Meredith and Heather were not that way.
Yep.
And I want to know what made them feel more comfortable to speak out. Is it that she's actually behind bars?
It's because she's in jail. That's what I think. The threat is no longer there. Because
scary. Like, to have a friend that makes you fear everything, that finds out shit about you and holds it over you. And I think that's exactly who Jen Shaw was. I think she knew every little last bit about what happened when Meredith and Seth were separated and threatened to share it with everyone. She knows about everyone's like dalliances or just even like the stupidest shit that would embarrass them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I fully, fully agree. What did you think also about, like, the ladies having a little fight amongst themselves before Heather's, like, big reveal? Did you feel that, to me, when it was like, was that? Why did they do that, do you think? Like, did they actually feel those emotions? Because I think Meredith's saying, like, you didn't stand up for me. And it was like,
I do think Meredith felt that. I think that was not the goal of the evening, so she didn't lay it in too hard. But I do believe she's like, why did you have to figure out that it was Monica doing all this shit as a troll for you to believe that I was innocent? Like, why couldn't you just believe me? Aren't we good enough friends that, like, my word is enough? And
how do we think Angie felt? Because I literally even forgot she was at the meal. And, like, why did Heather not have, like, do you think the producer said don't invite Angie? We just want you to tell the OGs, like, what? Why do you think they left her out of it?
Angie was never one of the people targeted by Reality Vontees, and kind of, she's newer this season. She was a little bit on last season, and I feel like the OGs, like, this was something for them to come together around.
I grew to like Angie. I think most people did.
I really was wrong about her. I thought she was thirsty to be on the show and she was trying to sort of manufacture arguments. But as soon as she just took a deep breath and just was herself, she was awesome.
I feel like it was like Jessel on Roni.
Yes.
Or Roni New, where at first I was like, ugh. And then I was like, oh my God, I love you.
Like, yes. Angie, also, she was so funny at BravoCon. So the most time I spent with any housewife was probably Heather at the airport when her and Angie got separated and she didn't know how to get to her gate. Heather was like, I have no idea where I'm going. I was following Angie and Sean and now they have gone on the tram and I don't know which tram to take and I don't know what gate we're going to. And I was like, oh, like, let's figure it out. Oh, I think all the trams kind of go this way. Like, you know, we were just like looking at, you know, figuring it all out and talking. And it was just so funny that Angie K was just, oh yeah, just moving forward, just assuming Heather was behind her.
It's giving Home Alone too.
You know, it's just, yeah. Like she's just very Angie, like, you know?
Yeah. I'm also, now that you brought up BravoCon, I'm also more in shock. Oh, didn't they not do a Salt Lake panel?
And Angie told me it was because it was too close to the reunion. And
no, now I know why.
Because it would have exposed stuff.
Because you could have never been like, why does no one like Monica at this current moment?
We all were wondering that at BravoCon because Monica did not have any single appearance with any other lady on Salt Lake the entire weekend. She was doing photo shoots with other women from different franchises. Like they did not speak to her. And I wasn't sure if it was because she like ripped off Heather's business. Like I didn't know what the deal was.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was at the Salt Lake BravoCon panel 2 years ago and that was spicy. And so I thought maybe that was why they didn't want to do it because it basically was like a mini reunion. Like they were going hard at each other. Like that was actually, that might've been my favorite panel of the day. Cause I only did a 1 day pass when I was in New York and I thought that, okay, maybe that's why they're not doing it again because I hadn't filmed the reunion, but I think there was no way they could have continued to keep the secret if they did a panel, like,
right.
Or everything would have just been like, you have to stay tuned. You have to stay tuned. Like, you know, there would have been way too much there.
What do you think the future of the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City looks like?
I would like Monica back.
I don't think there's any chance of that. And not
I don't think there is, but
because of what she did, but she is supposed to be on Bethany Frankel's podcast next week.
No, she just posted. Did you see what Monica herself posted?
Oh, God, I'm always a step behind.
No, Danielle. No, you're fine.
No, I'm like, I never can keep up. I thought I was so on top of it.
No, there's been so much, and like it has been a like wild work time, and I have not been able to pay attention.
Is that just a rumor?
Yes. So 9 hours ago, someone posted that she's set to be on Bethany Frankel's podcast, and Monica posted, "Man, you guys are really trying hard. Y'all are big, big mad out there. One, I have never even been asked to be on her podcast. Two, I wouldn't even do it if I was asked. Three, this, along with so many other things put out about me on the smear campaign happening right now, is false. Four, you guys got my post taken down. Thanks a lot. Thumbs up."
What post of hers was taken down?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh. That's a lot.
And I'm cracking up so bad. Ryan Bailey commented, "Thank God."
Well, who would have made that up? Just who originally posted it?
Sonia's townhouse?
It looks like a Twitter account posted that and said,
said Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Monica Garcia, said to appear on Bethany Frankel's podcast, just be this upcoming Wednesday. I wonder what new info we will get. This person posted that at 7:24 a.m. and Monica posted 9 hours ago and said,
Sonia's,
no, I will not be on Bethany's.
Townhouse woke up and chose violence.
Yup. Yeah, I don't know if that's just a Twitter account or if that's also an Instagram account, but yeah, she will not be. See, I told you, I'm the People Magazine. I'm not spreading falseness. But no, I literally happened to see that. I think I reposted it or was going to share it.
So this reminds me of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. posting that he's holding this like big fundraiser for his presidential campaign and that Martin Sheen and Dionne Warwick are going to join. And poor Dionne Warwick was like, I never was invited to this. I never agreed to be at this. And then Martin Sheen, who I don't even think is on social media, told Bradley Whitford, who was his chief of staff on the West Wing, but not like his actual publicist, to get the information out that he plans to vote for Joe Biden in 2024.
Oh my gosh.
I was laughing so hard because there was multiple days in between when this came out. And I thought, that sounds fishy. That doesn't sound right. But yeah. Who knows, you know?
I love the idea that Monica would, go on like Bethany's podcast. But
wait, what if Monica is Sonia's townhouse on Twitter?
Who's starting her own rumors about herself? That's very possible. That is very, very possible. Unfortunately, no one sends me any juicy DMs ever of any information. But I wouldn't even know what to do with it. And I only one time had one juicy thing and I did nothing with it. And it was Kyle from Summer House sent me like a novel about Hannah when she was still on. And then I was like, well, I can't post any of this because somehow I earned your trust to be your friend. And now you just told me some things about why you don't like Hannah. And I just have to sit with this. And I was like, what do I do with this? Should I have made a troll account and then sent those to, you know, through the like playing game of telephone?
I've been told a couple of things, but nothing that's worth sharing that could hurt someone, right?
Yeah, it feels like a breach of trust. Like, thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
I will keep this to myself.
I have heard from many different sources that Dorinda mixes alcohol and pills and can get violent, like throw shoes and other things.
Well, that is the least shocking news that I think I've ever heard.
That appears to be not shocking. So allegedly, that's what causes some of Dorinda's anger. And after meeting her at BravoCon, I could see it easily.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen her enough, and it continues to be a pattern of... Sometimes I love her and sometimes I'm like, you are the most vile human in the things that you say.
Why do you get so dark? It scares me because I think she's so lovely when she's nice.
Yeah, well, I'm midway through episode 4 of Roni Legacy and Ramona is, I think, explaining Dorinda to Kelly. And she's basically like, she can be the most outstanding, phenomenal friend. And she can also be the worst human you've ever met in your life. If Ramona is saying accurate. That, if Ramona is saying that, and Ramona has that enough like realization, then you know it's definitely true.
Yeah, I've had trouble making it through Ultima Girls Trip. Like, I'm struggling. I'm not enjoying it.
We are covering it on the podcast because what's weird is that we're up to season 5 of Old Roni when they go to
St. Bart's.
So it's kind of like both. We're watching the old and the new. I'm liking it, but definitely not as much as I wanted to. I don't think they like did enough activities. Like, it's just kind of boring, I find. Like, I was thinking about it today, I was like, why? Like, okay, we already got a girls' trip where they're like on an island type thing. Like, they're not doing anything. Like, I needed more. I'm like, oh, yay, they're on a boat. Oh, yay, they're by the beach. Like, and to me watching it, I'm like, they will never come back. Like, it's never coming back.
It wasn't entertaining. I didn't miss them. I like Luann and Sonia, right? And them doing their fun show in random places around the country,
so good.
Around the world. That's awesome. I like that. I'm not a fan of Ramona. I feel like we've seen all we can see of her. Mm-hmm. She doesn't change.
Though she's not like horrible at all, unless I haven't gotten to it yet.
No, but we know she's horrible.
But in terms of this is like the most calm, muted Ramona that we've seen. Like, she's not.
Yeah, no, I would agree. She's not.
Like, she's logical, and it's always weird when Ramona's logical.
Which makes me so much more freaked out about Dorinda and her kind of behavior.
Well, especially because we saw Dorinda on season 2 of Ultimate Girls Trip, and it was the same. And it was the same because she'd been in New York. So it's like, nope, you still haven't changed.
Fix it.
Kelly was Kelly. So that's that. And Kristen Kristen's fine.
She's the only one I like on the show at this point. I really wish Luann.
The character growth of Luann.
I know.
Cannot be overlooked for the most part. Of course, there's still little things, but like watching her from season one to how different she is now is just crazy. I wish they would have gotten like Carol, Tinsley.
Yes, but they are living real lives. They're not obsessed with the TV show anymore.
They needed more people who weren't just like in the final season of Housewives, because it's basically the same sort of stuff. Like, yeah. They should have had Alex Van Kemp on this one and not the Moroccan season that we'll probably never get to see.
I don't think we're going to get that. What do you think is going on with all that? Have you been reading what Brandy has been sharing?
Yeah. I mean, it's awful. And there's so much darkness around it. Like, I don't know what to believe. You know, Brandy says it wasn't what people are saying. Caroline has said literally nothing. Bravo hasn't said anything. Like, I'll be so sad because I was so excited to see Alex again on my screen. Like, I was so, so excited for that.
Yeah. I wanted to see Alex McCord back, but I was not happy to see Carolyn Manzo. I was never the biggest fan of her. And specifically, it's mainly that she put a hit out on her own sister and like could have gotten her own sister killed and still doesn't speak to her sister. After going on national television and saying, like, the one thing about my family, we're thick as thieves, you know, like, what the fuck is wrong with you? How do you like, you're clearly not, because not only do you not speak to your sister, you put someone to like beat her and her new husband up.
Yeah. I was not excited for Gretchen because she's Gretchen.
You know why I'd be excited to see her on TV? So we can see her nose. Because you know how
she doesn't have one, according to Instagram filters.
It's the weirdest thing. Like, it looks odd. It doesn't make her look more pretty. She's already pretty. It just looks like, oh, your eyes are really defined, your lips are really defined, and you don't have a nose.
Yeah. I mean, she would have been fine, but she's just, like, not my favorite. So I don't know if we'll ever get it. They can't completely edit out whatever happened. But does Bravo feel like airing something that might have some darkness?
No, they're going to can it.
That would be so sad. That would be shocking.
Having this like stress-induced swelling on her face.
Everyone's like, it's just filler issues. Like, is it really that?
No,
like, is
that a thing? It seems different than filler issues. Okay. The pictures that she's posted, some look like filler, and then some look like rashes on her face and where other parts of her face are just blown up, and there is an actual medical term for it that she was diagnosed with by like dermatologist.
Yeah, to me with the Roni, I would like to see – it's never coming back with the old ladies. Like, people need to get – it's never coming back. It's
gone.
But would I like to see, like, Brynn and Jessel go have lunch with Sonia? Yeah, I'd be cool with that. Or, like, invite Luann and Dorinda to a party? Sure. Like, make them a little friend of Cameo. That would be nice.
Maybe not Dorinda. I'm like,
well, sometimes Dorinda is entertaining. If she was just like a little like friend moment, would be fine.
The thing is, she wouldn't do it because she's like, no, I'm main character, and who are these new bitches? I've never heard of them.
No, she did. She was at a party and she took pictures with Brynn and I forget who else. And then she talked about it on Watch What Happens Live and was like, oh, they were so lovely, and like a little friendship was formed. So I'd be cool with that, because I don't want to pretend as if like the two don't exist in the same universe.
Right.
So I think it would be cool if they had met each other, maybe at BravoCon, whatever, have little moments like that. That I'd be fine with.
Brynn and Sonia, like two peas in a pod.
That's what I'm saying. I can see that.
They need to like have their own lunch.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wouldn't watch another season of Luann and Sonia, but I think they should do another show like that.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
Who could you see doing something like, what duo could you see doing that?
A duo that's no longer on?
No, they could. no longer be on or be on.
I could see Garcelle. No.
Garcelle and Sutton?
I actually would rather see Karen and Giselle now that I think about it.
I would. They're the best friend of
like
me.
Without
so I actually would
Candace,
love Karen.
Without Robin, without any of the other distractions.
Yes, I would thoroughly like to see Karen and Giselle. That would be a good one. But I could see Garcelle and Sutton. I almost want to see like Sutton and Erica because that little lunch those three of them had was watching that. I was like, this is why I'm so glad Rinna is not on Beverly Hills anymore. Like, yes. I can't believe how much I like Erica this season. But I like her too. So this was the Erica that I loved. Like, I used to love Erica. She was one of my favorite housewives for a very long time.
Until she stole your artwork.
Not even that. I mean, that was like, whatever. Like, I mean, thank you at this point for that. Like, really, you know, gave me a nice little boost. But like, it was obviously way more the Tom stuff and how she handled that for a few seasons. And now I feel like the Erica that I used to really enjoy is kind of back, which is nice.
So going into Beverly Hills this week, do you think it's still off limits to talk about children once the children are adults and want, like in the situation where Denise picked a fight with Erica?
If it was a child who lived a private life and either had never been on the show in a sense of like, I'm talking like Brooks, where Meredith's always like, my child. And I'm like, he's literally sitting down for an interview to be on the show. Like, he's a part of it. Or someone who has a following, like a famous person. Like, I'm trying to think whose kid.
Well, Denise's child, Sammy, is on OnlyFans.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because she hasn't really been on the show, but she certainly has a presence of fame on Instagram, TikTok, and OnlyFans. Like, I'm trying to think who. Like one of Kyle's younger kids who, when they like just like went to college.
Yeah.
They're like not doing anything. Or like, I can't say Gia because like we know her involvement is like obviously so
well,
high.
Well, actually like Melissa's daughter, Antonia.
Yes, Antonia has literally no skin in the game, doesn't sit for an interview, has been like a little whatever, but she's not out like. She has followers on Instagram, but I don't really think of her as someone who's trying to like be an influencer and make a living off of like she's in college.
Not
she's
yet, like, at least.
yeah. But from someone who's like clearly that is how they're making money and been public about it.
Yeah. Do you think it was okay then for Erica to go after Denise by saying like who makes more on OnlyFans, you or Sammy?
I got to say that was one of like the wildest moments. So was it, I don't know. It's like, was it rude and mean? Yes. But is it something she can say that's not like, especially, you know, like I was definitely with Erica. I'm like, what is up with 4 years ago? You're bringing this up. Like we literally, I apologized to you like 2 days later. And then she's brought it up so many times. So I almost feel like Erica felt she had to cut really deep to finally just be like, don't mess with me. Like, we're not rehashing this from 4 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, I actually am completely on Erica's side.
Like, I think I'm mostly on Erica's. Like, is it, does it cut deep? Yes. But I don't think it's totally off limits. And also, like, very, like, I couldn't believe she said that in the moment type thing. Oh,
that's the first thing I was thinking about is, like, this daughter that you were talking about being 14.
Oh, I was thinking about that, too.
So, come on. It was annoying, and also she got everything wrong about what happened 4 years earlier.
I know. Literally, the way that Erica was like, actually, no, this happened. And I was truly waiting, and I wish she would have done it, whether they would have aired. If I was Erica, I would have been like, let me get on YouTube and literally show you.
But they did. They did all these flashbacks.
Well, they did for us, but I'm saying in the moment, if I was Erica, I wish she would have literally pulled out her phone and been like, you won't stop here. Here's a clip. I found it on YouTube. Like, that's never happened. And I'm honestly shocked that that's never happened. But if there was ever a moment for it to happen, this would have been the moment that I would have been okay with. Like, break that fourth wall. Because she was like, what the hell is wrong with Denise? Like, why is she coming at me when this is 4 years ago, so long ago?
I kind of now question Denise's intellect. Like, she really doesn't seem to have it all together. She doesn't seem to remember things correctly. Well, I know a lot of people do, but that's something that kind of Erica went after, was like, you're just dumb. And I'm like, well, that's mean, but it feels kind of accurate at this point.
Yeah, but— I mean, I'm not surprised by that. I also feel like if I was Denise and I was going to come to you with a 4-year vendetta, I certainly would have rewatched the clips beforehand to make sure I was correct.
And to like go after that and not the real issue of that season, or of why Denise had been wronged, but she doesn't want to go on to actually talk about the, you know, out her outing, so she's going to focus on this thing with the kids, but
which was so ridiculous. They weren't even sitting close. Like, of all the things Erica's done, it was nothing.
Erica apologized right away. She apologized. Like, give it a rest. Yeah. I'm kind of over that. Garcelle and Dorit sit down for lunch, and Garcelle tries to explain. And Dorit does give her the floor to explain why saying the word attack to a Black woman means something different than when you say it to people that look more like you. And I think Dorit understood that, like, she's like, okay, wrong choice of words. But where I feel like Dorit seemed to be really offended was when she was called a Karen-like person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she took that as Garcelle basically saying she was racist or accusing her of that. That's what she took it as that. I mean, I don't even know what to make of all of this. And then for her to say, well, as a Jewish woman, and I would love to get your thoughts as a fellow Jewish woman.
Yes.
On that. But also, it just felt a little choppy to me. Like, not all of those conversations happened in that order, or there was a lot of conversation in between and they couldn't show us all of it, because it seemed to not make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it just didn't.
Do you think Karen means racist? Because Karen doesn't necessarily mean racist to me.
No, I think it means
I speak to your manager?
Yeah,
that's what I think
who
of when
expects more than they are due.
Yeah, or just like an unawareness of surroundings. Like that, yes. Not doesn't just equal that of what. So I don't know if Dorit knew that, like when people use that as like a slang term, what that like actually means. Like if my mom is being like rude to a waiter, I'm like, oh my god, the Karen's coming out. But like, it's not the word, it's not the word with racism. My mom just doesn't understand servers and like the proper time to ask for things, not when they're like mid putting your food down and you need your extra napkins and lemons and Parmesan cheese. And I'm like, mom, just wait until the food is on the table, and then they're going to say, do you need anything? And then that's when you ask. But she's not learned this. But I think like Dorit, and you and I were talking like a little before we started recording about the Jewishness of it, is like she should have come from a place of like understanding, prejudiced, and all of that. And it just seemed to go right over her head, as she called it, like the bubble of like not understanding. And it didn't seem like there was compassion to, like, there was no yes and. It was like, okay, but more in a sense, like, yes, and I understand, and I'm sorry that you feel this way, versus like, okay, but this is me. And it's like, no, you're not. You're her and Garcelle constantly is just, she doesn't listen to Garcelle.
I don't think she doesn't listen to anyone.
Yeah, I should say she doesn't listen to anyone. And I almost feel like maybe it just feels like it's always Garcelle, because everyone else just gives up trying. And Garcelle like seemingly hasn't understood that about Dorit yet.
Yeah, she was way too defensive. And I get it. There's like, people don't want to be accused of being racist, right?
But being defensive is never the way to get you out of being accused of being racist. Or it's like saying like, I hate when people speak in absolutes. It's like a real big ick for me. I'm the least racist person in the world. Like stuff like that. It's like, you don't have to go to that. Like, I feel like Sutton did stuff like that when you know.
Right. When she was accused by Crystal. Just think that...
But also, I've never been accused of being racist, so I have no idea what it would be like to defend myself on like the.
And on a national stage.
I was just going to say, on a national, the fear that these women know comes for them when stuff like this comes up, I imagine has to be in their head. Not to say that defense is the way to go, but I imagine that, that's some living somewhere in her brain of like, oh, crap.
It did feel this to is on me, TV. That like maybe something else that day had happened to Garcelle and she was totally at her wit's end because it felt like she said she was like, I was so triggered. I cried all night. I woke up still upset. You know, that seems like maybe it wasn't just that incident, that incident was on top of a whole lot of other shit that she had going on that probably did have a racial undertone to it.
Yeah. Right? And I imagine for Garcelle, if people feel like, oh, this is the thing she brings up all the time, this and that. Well, maybe it's because she continues to be the only like woman of color on, or I guess not the only woman, the only black woman on
what about
an all white cast. She just joined.
Right. Yeah.
The crew though. For the most part, she has been the one voice of representation for black women on this show. And I imagine that gets tiring and it's just a different perspective that these women could never like understand. So that just, probably is
in general, when a friend is coming to you or just an acquaintance or a coworker and says that you've said something that hurts them and upsets them, like you should listen, right?
I would literally feel like I was going to throw up, probably apologize like 100 times and then think about it for the next few weeks and continue to like bring it up and apologize. Like I'm such an empath. So like the idea that I would do something that would like hurt someone's feelings would literally like...
It would make me so sad that you were crying all night. Something that I said. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Like that was definitely not what I intended. And clearly I have something to learn because I said the wrong thing and I can't just keep saying the wrong things to people and hurting them. I should probably like look up what are the words that are not helpful to say, you know, to a black woman.
Yeah. Yeah. And also using the Jewishness.
Yeah.
There is a level of relation of minorities, but it's never the same. And you can't, I've always felt like Jewish people and black people, it's like a Nini Leaks. We see each other. Like,
yes.
I understand, but I don't understand. And it's like, if she was trying to relate, there's like a better way to do it than the way that she kind of came across.
100%. She could have said it at a different moment. But again, like, I felt like we didn't get to see the whole lunch. And it felt like, because they ended in a good place-ish. So, because Garcelle's like, we're going to be all right. I'm like, how are you going to be all right after what we just witnessed?
I hate like, when they do that, when they like wrap it. I'm like, I would watch 40 minutes of this conversation.
Me too.
You don't need to give me filler scenes of them playing like pickleball and going for walks and like Canyon Run. Like sometimes I get real annoyed that they like think we don't want to see entirety of stuff. And it's like, we actually really do want to see all of it.
The whole thing, because then it would make a little more sense why Garcelle at the end was like, we're going to be okay. Because I felt like maybe did Dorit say something that was more redeemable? Like, we just didn't see it, you know?
She's always been Dorit for someone who claims to be so worldly.
Oh, she's not.
Is not and has been someone, I mean, I can never forget when she was like, my mother's best friend is black or like, so, you know, those sort of things where I'm just like, have you done anything to like educate yourself or anything? No. Okay.
And I get what like giving. Where the Jewishness comes in, because I've said this so many times before, it's not just a religion, it's a race, it's an ethnicity, and it's a race because people called it a race. You know, that's all something needs to be in order to be called a race. It doesn't have to be based on color. It doesn't have to be based on anything.
Yeah, I had this like whole realization like last Christmas. And I think maybe it was because I was pregnant or whatever. So like, I'm not like religious at all, but like highly identify into my Jewishness culturally. And I went to this Ukrainian Christmas fair. There's like a Ukrainian church near us. And I went with like my family. And I'm actually Ukrainian, and I don't know anything about being Ukrainian because we all kicked the heck out. And it was, like, so fascinating to be there and, like, learn all these Ukrainian traditions, and they had these dresses and these drinks and these foods. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm not, like, I'm Russian, but I don't have any of these connections to that like Russian heritage. It's more to like the Jewish heritage. And I was like, we are a culture because it's like we all have been like displaced and like left from the country. So we had to create like our own culture. And that's why we have like, it was just like this whole like moment of like what Jewish culture actually is and like why it's not related to a country necessarily because we've all constantly been like kicked out and moved
out
from
of everywhere.
Everywhere.
So like you say you're Ukrainian, but like back in the day, Ukrainians didn't consider you Ukrainian.
Yeah.
You weren't considered Ukrainian. You weren't part of their culture.
Mm-hmm.
You had to do your own thing. You had to have your own different kind of special last name that set you apart from everyone else. And, you know, you could only have certain jobs and certain, you know, it was a mess. It was.
Yeah. Yeah. And I only recently found, I always thought Russian and then my great grandma who they immigrated in 1901 from Ukraine. That like I didn't know even that we were like of that. And I'd even asked my grandpa, like, did you grow up eating like Russian food? And why didn't we ever like my dad have any of that? And he was like, no. And it was like, I didn't understand that like they didn't like it wasn't a part of like the country. It was,
they
like,
even we even had our own language that was separate from Ukraine. People didn't speak Ukrainian that way. They spoke Yiddish.
Well, oh yeah. Well, yes, Yiddish.
And the non-Jews in Ukraine did not speak Yiddish.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? So it was just bad. Like, it was like this, I don't know. I had like such a moment at this like beautiful, like Ukrainian church.
Right.
That it was like such a like wild disconnect from in the way that like people whose grandparents are from like Ireland or Italy. And there's like a connection to the country. And I just like never like thought of that. Or like my grandpa was German and that's like a whole other
German in quotes.
Well, Jewish German. So that's what was really awkward when people ask that. I'm like, we're German and Jewish. And the look on their face is like,
Now I just say, because it's not the nationality. We're not the same nationality as other Germans or other Russians. So I just say I'm an Ashkenazi Jew.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what my, you
that's
know,
what my DNA
ancestry
said.
DNA same says.
90, it was like 90% or something like that.
Oh my God, so. Mine was 99%.
Oh my God, so was my mom's.
And my brother's 100%. And I'm like, okay, that none of this makes. And my dad was 99. I'm like, we're all 100. If Ben's 100, we're all 100.
Yeah, well, I did find out I have a great-grandfather who's not Jewish. So that's where maybe some mix-ins got in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't know that. That was, my grandma was British. It was her father. And he was not Jewish. And we always wondered, her middle name was Mary. And we were like, that's weird. And we all found it out like 10 years ago.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
That stuff is so funny.
I know. But yeah, Dorit, all together, maybe.
Not the right time to talk about
not the right time. Or like, I don't know who's going to break through to her. It's not going to be Garcelle, though, because she doesn't.
I don't
listen.
Think she wants to be broken through to. Like, I could have thought it was not an innocent mistake, but a really shitty mistake to say attack to Garcelle had she not done all that posting on Instagram of like, oh, I'm still in my bubble.
It's that like, did nothing that to help her.
Is now you're basically stating that like you like your privileged bubble and you're not willing to learn anything.
Where was her PR people to say, maybe don't use that caption twice? Because I think she did two posts with it.
Oh, God.
And I was just like, this is not going to help you.
I know. I know. But I also feel like Garcelle sometimes takes things out on her that are just weighing on her in general from her treatment in Hollywood and by other people. In LA.
Yeah, well, she might have like an expectation that these people are treating her the same as others had in the past, whether that was their intention or not. Like, I think probably the housewives might be more naive, where it might have been more intentional in other situations.
In Hollywood. Because they did show like all these clips of everyone shouting, well, you attacked me, you attacked me. And it's like, I felt attacked. It's just like, okay.
Well, yeah, that's a word we used all the time
in
housewives
lingo. That is a very common word in Dorit's defense.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember, I think you said if it was like, I don't know if you said this on here, but when we were chatting earlier, that if it's like, two black women saying it to each other, it's not as bad.
Yeah,
and it reminded me of like if you and I were to make some like Jew jokes right now, it's fine. It's fine. Or the Seinfeld dentist, like you're not a dentist, you can't make the dentist joke type thing.
An anti-dentite.
And yeah, an anti-dentite. I like that I didn't even have to ask if you've watched Seinfeld. I just assumed, knowing as another East Coast Jewish woman, that you probably have watched
Seinfeld. Like, and I grew up in the Midwest, but our rabbi used to make like Seinfeld references in his sermons continuously.
Of course he did.
And the anti-dentite was one of his
favorites. I always think it's the perfect example of just like, we all know it. It's like, yeah, I can say anything I want bad about like my parents, but if you say anything, even if it's right, not your place to do it.
There's just certain talk between people of the same background
that
it's almost weird to witness as not being. So like sometimes when there's these conversations on colorism on Potomac, I'm kind of like, I love hearing these conversations and I'm learning so much, but also I feel like you're having an internal battle and conversation that you genuinely don't want me to be privy to. Like
this conversation
isn't for me.
Yes. And it's definitely like, especially like when I think of the reunion, I was like, this was a fantastic conversation. And then I went online and people were like, this was horrible. And I was like, oh, maybe this wasn't for me to understand, because I thought it was like so well done and Andy let them have the floor and they got to choose how they wanted to discuss it. And then there was like so much that people did not like about it. And I was like, this conversation was a good learning, but not for me. And that's fine.
Yeah. I did an episode about a year ago about colorism, and I had two different guests, both like a woman and a man, and woman's Taria, obviously, and to kind of give their like examples of also like gendered colorism in families and stuff, and just talk through what it means. And there's still so much we don't understand about it. But yeah, it seems like it's just a really hard conversation to have, because it seems like the women are not on the same page about what they want the non-Black audience to take away.
Yeah, but I appreciate them, you know, trying to have these conversations. Like, I forget when it came to like Vanderpump Rules and like everyone being fired and all of that, there was a lot of people being like, I kind of wish you didn't fire them so that we could see growth. And sometimes there is, depending on the offense, sometimes I am like, I'd rather see them not be fired, but learn and grow and like have a moment of that if it's possible. So it is nice that Bravo is still continuing to like air these conversations and not, you know, shy away from whatever is going on.
I just think the timing of the Stassi and Kristen.
Oh yeah. I'm not saying like,
no, but Bravo may have made a decision too quickly, right? They didn't make a decision about Jax and Brittany for a while. They, you know what I mean? Like they moved very swiftly. And I think it was a good service to both Kristen and Stassi, because I think they've both are in way better places than they would be if they stayed on the show. So I think it was good for them.
Yeah.
Personally, but the fact that there was no, so I have a bunch of friends who've just gone through and watched all 10 seasons at once. And they're like, what happened between season 8 and season 9?
Oh,
like,
true,
they like
true.
Don't understand. And I think there could have been at least a conversation and like seeing them off as opposed to just pretending it never happened.
Yeah. Or like the talk shame is Kiki's watching Southern Charm NOLA, and they have they have conversations on there that I'm like, I'm glad that they chose to talk about this rather than like run away from this.
Right.
So at least, you know, they're keeping it. I just wish it was a little bit better explained and not so choppy.
I know. It's hard. It's really hard. It's this messy stuff when people of all different backgrounds are trying to talk about different things and share their perspectives, and the people producing are of all different backgrounds, you know.
Even you and me right now trying to talk.
We're like, I don't know how effective
we are.
I'm
like, I don't want to say the wrong thing.
I know.
You have to caveat it. And yeah, it's definitely nerve-wracking. And we are not on a stage where a million people are going to be, you know,
I kind of
yelling at us.
Miss the Dorit, who's just absolutely bonkers with her drink order and like her ideas about Beverly Beach. And like, I want to see the delusions of grandeur of Dorit. I kind of this like the Dorit of this season and last season. And I know she's gone through some very traumatic situations, but it just hasn't been.
I think her best moments this season have actually been in all of her interviews. Mm-hmm. She has been so funny in her little snippy interviews. That's been the Dorit I've enjoyed this season. Not necessarily like in the regular scenes, but her interviews have been very good. And she was in a mood that I think when she was filming those, because she was very snippy in a lot of them. And I liked it.
I like how honest she's being about what the hell is going on with my friendship with Kyle, what's going on with Kyle in general, mm-hmm. all of that. Before we go, just wanted you to give me your kind of overall thoughts on the season of Winter House, since you are a fellow Winter House watcher. Kind of, what's your big takeaway?
It was too many people.
Okay.
Like too many people stopping in, trying to follow their storyline. It was like, Jordan was a huge part in the beginning. And then literally it was like, I was like, oh, she's in the house. Like she just disappeared. It was so focused on Danielle and Alex. And I'm like, mm-hmm. was this literally the only thing going on? Oh God, Danielle, I like her, but she just does so many things. And it's fine that she does these things in the moment, but I just feel she's so often missing the reflection, and you're like hoping she comes to these reunions in a place of not defensiveness, of like, yeah, I watched myself and I was being crazy. And it just doesn't ever seem like she's willing to admit that.
Right.
I'm thoroughly enjoying no longer watching Kyle and Amanda fight. I think since they've been married, they've been like fun to watch and no longer like coupley fighting, which is very nice. I'm pretty sure Corey and Sam broke up because they did not spend New Year's together. And that does not surprise me, because at the reunion, she kept being like, we talk about, we go through this every day. And I was like, every day? Like,
I think it's since it aired, not because it's totally fine at BravoCon.
No, that's what I'm saying. Since it aired. But even so, I'm like, this happened in March. It's December.
It made her look stupid. He made her look stupid. And
but I'm like, if this is that big, he didn't cheat on you. Like,
let it get really close. And I think the key statement that he said that would have made me leave is every man would try to go as long as possible without making a relationship official before mm-hmm. they did. And I'm like, but that's not true.
Yeah, I agree. Also, I did like Malia, though, when Sam was like, if you were in my position, and Malia's like, I wouldn't let a situationship go on for 7 months. So right. I did really and like Malia in that moment.
Also shocked Sam, being like, oh, I shouldn't have stood for this.
Yeah, it's like she allowed it to continue without, if that's not what she wanted, she should have asked for what she wanted. But so I like them together. But I'm not surprised that the airing of this have broken them up or caused some issues. Just based on the reunion, she was very much like, we fight about this every day, basically, is what it made it seem like. And I was like, that's not good, because I know, yes, it's airing now, but like this happened so long ago. So if you're unable to move past this is not gonna.
Yeah.
Because to me, I would be like, okay, this sucks. Well, this is airing, but this happened in March and we've been happily boyfriend and girlfriend for...
I don't think they've been happily. I think they've been happily online. And I think she's always had like this like deep feeling like I like him more than he likes me.
Yeah.
And I have to keep behaving a certain way to keep him.
True, true. Oh, definitely. Probably was scared if she asked for a commitment that he would run. I'm sure that's where it came from. But yeah, and I'm trying to think who else. I did enjoy Malia. I don't typically like her from Below Deck, but she was fine on the show.
What about Floody and Tom Schwartz?
You know, I like that they both knew it was just like a fun casual thing.
Yeah.
I will say I totally was on his side, though, of not dating a person with the same name. I dated a man named Doug, and I literally one time was like out at a bar and a guy told me his name was Doug and I just like walked away. I was like, no. No, we're not talking. Like that name was so triggering. So yeah. I absolutely understand not even less than a year to have another person named Katie, especially if Katie Maloney was like the only Katie he knew.
And it wasn't just Katie, it was Katie Marie.
Yeah, like I get it. Like he got some flack over that, but I got so many messages that I remember posting about it, and I got like 20 or 30 messages from other women being like, absolutely understand. Like I could never date someone with my ex-boyfriend's name. Like, so I get that. Schwartz, you know, he's lovable forever, and it's unfortunate that I'll love him forever, but he is just like a golden retriever that bites you, but then comes back, and you're just like, because you know what? Nothing he does is from, to me personally, I don't think it's from an ill will place. Like, I think he just is easily taken advantage of and allows people to walk all over them.
But he also hurts people through him not having a backbone.
Yeah, yeah. Like his lack of a backbone
causes pain,
which he doesn't always recognize that. And he just is like trying to keep the peace and it's not good. But I enjoyed seeing him without Sandoval. I can't even imagine the fact that he filmed this, then went and filmed a reunion, then came back. Like
that,
his mind
wild.
Must have been exploding.
Also, wait, I've been meaning to ask someone this. I haven't yet. Remember how they were giving the explanation for the spitting in the mouth and how it was they were doing shrooms and they were like spitting shrooms in each other's mouth?
Oh, they were?
That's what I thought they said. Am I crazy? I could be. Listeners, if you've watched Winter House, did you hear them make mention of taking mushrooms? Or was
they might have. They were in Colorado. Is it legal there?
I don't think it's legal anywhere.
I don't know. But that's possible.
I think it's common, but I don't think it's legal.
Yeah.
So that's why I was kind of shocked. I know that, and the reason I wasn't shocked is that I know Schwartz like openly talks about taking them.
Yes, they've definitely talked about taking them.
And I just think that's interesting because no one wants to openly talk about abusing Adderall or cocaine on these shows, but they have no problem talking about smoking pot or mushrooms.
Yeah.
So I just find all of that very interesting.
Yeah, I might have missed that. I'm not sure. Okay. And then my last takeaway is I love Brian Benny forever. Get him a dating show. Keep him on my TV screen forever. How dare you, Bravo? Question, bringing Family Karma back.
I said that today. Did you get a text from, do you get texts from Bravo?
Mm,
you know what I'm talking about? Like some Bravo insider.
I got a text
and it literally says Bravo. Hey, Boo, Happy New Year. We'd love to know which Bravo shows are you most excited to watch in 2024? And I just wrote back, bring back Family Karma.
Everyone wants it back. It's the most wholesome, lovely show. Like, there could be no storyline. I don't care. Like, I don't need a storyline.
I don't either.
Watch.
I just want to see the aunties.
Yes. And like, Brian is such a gem. He was so funny. He's like, I'm such a soup guy. And like his game, like they gave Shep a dating show. Please give Brian Benny a dating show.
They gave Shep a dating show?
You don't remember?
Was Relationship? Relationship. Yes. Yeah. Oh, that was a long time ago.
I know. But I'm just saying it's been done before. And clearly Bravo, I feel like they really like Brian because they put him on the show. I'm like, send him to Summer House. Have him go eat at Vanderpump Rose. Like, I don't care. Keep him on my
I want
my
him
screen.
On all the shows. Just like,
and he was like, circle my mom by. Sent like, me this, that. I was done.
I love his mom. He let me record a video for his mom on his phone at BravoCon.
Oh,
and then
my
he
God.
Shared it with her when he got home.
I've like DM'd with him. He's so, because I was like,
he's so
I'm
nice.
A soup guy too. He's so nice. He's so handsome. Like, I just love him. And yeah, please keep him around. Like, give him something. I don't want him off my screens.
I need them to bring back Family Karma for Monica getting married.
Yes. Where is a camera?
They can do like, it on Peacock. I already subscribe.
I need the finale to loop it all the way back around. I need the finale of Salt Lake City on Peacock Uncensored.
It will be,
I think.
There
was so much cursing.
Didn't they say that they were going to do that?
I don't know. I tagged Peacock and I was like, you better post this uncensored.
Oh, what did they post that was uncensored on Peacock for the first time
ever?
I thought
ever? They said all the reunions are going to be.
The reunions.
But I
okay.
need that finale because there was a lot of cursing and it's always much easier to follow when it's uncensored and not hearing the beeps. And also like watching the Vanderpump Rules finale uncensored was literally some of the best TV I've ever. Like, it was liberating to watch it like that. And I'm also like, why is this even censored on TV? Like, this is so dumb.
I get why it's uncensored on cable, but not on Peacock. Do you know what I mean? Like on cable, yeah. There's the FCC guidelines.
I know, but it's stupid at this point. Like,
it just makes me think of Eminem. The FCC won't let me be. You let me be me. Sorry.
They try to put me down on MTV, but it feels so empty
without me.
I gotcha. I knew what you were going for.
Oh, yeah, I loved the early 2000s. Oh, okay. So well, Danielle, thank you so much for coming on and diving into this like really, really crazy finale of Salt Lake. Tell everyone where they can find you, where they can listen to your podcast, anything else you want to plug.
Yeah. So I'm at Brands by Bravo on Instagram. I do have a TikTok, but I like have not been using it for quite some time, but you can follow me on there. The podcast is called The Real Housewives of Rewatch, and we're rewatching Real Housewives of New York, me and my co-host Sue Funk, and we're on season 5, and we're also doing Roni Legacy. And I also put out a Bravo ABC's children's book called H for Housewives, and you can get that on Amazon, and it's a fun little ABCs of Real Housewives.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Wait, how did I not know that thing?
No, yeah, I did that before
what
Christmas.
What age group is
it? No, it's literally written for children.
But like a 2-year-old?
There's no bad words. Will they understand any of the references? Definitely not. But there's no bad words.
I'm totally getting this from my niece.
My husband was my editor, and he was like, I had X for Xanax smoothie. And he was like, you can't have that. He's like, some parent is going to freak out at the word Xanax. So that was changed. I think the only bad word is ugly.
Your because ugly leather pants?
Of course.
Of course.
You is her ugly. It's for a parent to enjoy reading it to a kid. But it has fun pictures. And maybe
I'll read it
you
to my niece.
Exactly.
She's very into the ABCs right now.
Yes. Yes. So I'll, yes, it's written for children. There's no bad words in it.
I bet my brother and sister-in-law are going to be like, what the hell is this? Because I wore we were doing like a gathering around her birthday, and I had my sweater that says, I deserve presents just for breathing. And everyone's like, oh, that's a cute sweater.
I like it. I'm actually wearing a sweater. You can't see it right now. It says Bravo is my love language, which I just realized is very fitting to be wearing.
Well, I had to actually explain. I wore this sweater to a work function. It was like our work holiday lunch. And someone's like, what's the context? And I was like, the context is a housewife was being accused for giving out sexual favors to get like courtside seats at the Utah Jazz games. And she said, I don't need to give out sexual favors. I deserve presents just for breathing.
Oh my God. The times you have to explain quotes and stuff. I don't even try. I just like say them. And
oh,
then
I do,
you know, my friends or husband look at me and I'm like, it's a Bravo thing.
People did find it funny. They were like, wait, what? And I'm like, yes.
You got to pull up the clip. The thing that I kept saying when I was pregnant, I just kept yelling at my husband, drag me, Monique, pregnant at all. Like I would yell that literally all the time. That, and then I would also say, this baby about to come up here, I don't know, July or something, from that my literal number one favorite all time scene of the Mother's Day brunch with Phaedra when they're asking her when her baby's due,
and she does, basically
this baby
says,
about to come up
fully cooked at 7 months.
The baby's on my bladder and I'm bleeding. And rewatch this as an actual pregnant person, I was like, this is the most insane conversation. You don't know your due date? Like, you're literally asked it weekly. Like, what? It was truly my number. I think that's my number one favorite housewife scene of all time.
Yeah, Phaedra wouldn't know the truth if it hit over the head.
No, just, and all the commentary from the ladies is just
so funny.
I recently posted that. If anyone is like, I don't remember the scene, go to my Instagram. I posted it when I was doing 25 funniest moments of Bravo for Christmas, and That video got the most views because I think everyone agreed that
it's so funny.
The eating and that, me going, shut up, you stupid.
And do you watch Married to Medicine?
I only early, and I know.
No, early. I think it's the first season or the second season.
Okay.
Dr. Jackie and Dr. Simone are having lunch like outside the hospital, and they're trying to like say like, oh, so, you know, Quad is like inviting us to her like puppy couture fashion show.
Yes.
And they can't say it without, they're literally laughing so hard and falling on each other. It is the most, it's my favorite scene.
I should have put that in my
one's countdown. So good.
I don't think I can remember if I'd Married to Medicine.
Reality by Comics 2 just posted, Kendrick posted it recently.
Okay, I have to look for it.
And he was like, this reminds me of you because I remember you also thought it was insane. It's just when Dr. Jackie and Dr. Simone laugh, like the two of them laughing together is comedy gold for me.
Yeah.
And heavenly, oh my gosh. Part of me wonders if when I laugh into the mic, I sound like her.
I get really I always try so hard to not laugh directly into the microphone. It's like such a pet peeve when I listen to people's. I try to always like back away from it.
Oh, so I laugh all the time into the mic. And I just now, after hearing heavenly, I'm like, okay, hopefully I don't sound like that. Okay, well, thank you so much, Danielle.
Thank you.
We will talk again soon.
Yes.